The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg at myinjuryally.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. Welcome back to our program from No Fault to Your Own. I'm here with my amazing associate and great co-host, Amanda Spinn. Hey, Amanda.
Hello, how are you?
Good. It's nice to have you back here. You got the week off last week.
I did have the week off. But before we start, I would like to give a shout out to two people. First, Rebecca Spinner, my sister. Happy birthday. Today you are 27.
Happy birthday, Rebecca.
And secondly, a very big happy birthday to you for Thursday. Happy 60th, Ken.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a nice ride. Little bumps and bruises on the way here, but you know, I got to tell you, it gets better every year.
You're looking good.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're on the radio. What could be better?
Hey, we got all of our fans out there on the radio, all these people who we love and our clients who we love to try to take care of. So how bad could it be? It's awesome. Well, as you know, folks, it's our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas we have explored and will continue to explore are car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, dog bites, nursing home neglect, product liability, and really many, many other circumstances of negligence and the serious injuries that often occur. These also do include wrongful death matters. And we're going to talk about that in a second because there's something very, very important in the news, and we really need all of you to be focused on it and be calling your elected officials to really urge them to make sure that this gets passed. But we'll talk about that in a moment. And through our journey together, folks, hopefully we can remove some of the mystery and uncertainty and help you feel both empowered, knowledgeable, and also confident in the process. We are live today, so if you have a question, you can call the studio at 631-451-1039. It would be our privilege to answer your questions about personal injury. And if they do call in, Amanda, what do they get?
You will get a free From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt.
You should be seeing them now because there's a lot out on the street.
They're out there.
Okay,
they're dwindling down in the office, so you better get them while they're hot.
Yeah, we're going to have to order a few more hundred of them, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that. Amanda, let's talk about what's happening legislatively in an area that we've talked about previously to do with wrongful death cases in New York.
Yes.
Now, Amanda, in wrongful death cases in New York, there is limitation in terms of recovering for damages for a person who dies, right?
Correct. The person actually has to suffer pain and what we call pain and suffering in New York in order for the family to be able to recover.
So two things, right? Conscious pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. They actually have to have consciousness of pain, not just they get run over by a car, they survive, but then they die after that. We have to actually prove they're actually had pain for a period of time.
Correct.
The only other recovery you can make for someone is also for economic loss. So if it's a young person or an older person, you can prove that that older person was somehow supporting you. So let's say a parent dies and now the remaining spouse has to now take over and has an economic burden, could prove, hey, I lost certain amount of income as a result of this. My spouse isn't here. My children have lost income and support. But the problem is this, and this is the problem, and it's been really one of the most inequitable things that exist in our laws in New York, is that a person who is elderly and dies, and let's say they die and they do not have any pain and suffering. Well, what's the problem with that? If they have no pain and suffering, they're elderly, and they're not economically supporting anybody, then they're worth nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's a very difficult conversation to have with clients when they come to you. You know, if they have a young child or, like you said, an elderly person. Unfortunately, the way the law is currently in New York, you know, it's just not favorable.
Yeah, so the hardest conversations I've had with people are in that area where a person is elderly and they lose that elderly person. Maybe it's a medical malpractice case. And they say, wait a second, this is horrific medical malpractice.
Right.
This shouldn't happen. But that person is elderly. They're not supporting anybody.
Right.
As most elderly people wouldn't be doing at a certain age. And they were killed instantly.
Right.
Hard to explain to a person that they're not worth anything. Okay? And I've had to have those conversations. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. Same thing with a child. Yep. A child dies. And the child, that young child now dies. Killed, let's say, instantly. They're not supporting anybody. They didn't have conscious pain, but they're dead. The people who survive that child cannot make a claim, and they're very limited, almost to nothing.
Right.
So that's wrong. It's been wrong. It's something that should have been corrected a long time ago. It's something that I've advocated over a long period of time throughout my career. And right now, finally, and it's really bipartisan, means across the parties, that there is support for legislation. It's called the Grieving Families Act, and it's passed almost unanimously through the Assembly and the Senate. It's on the governor's desk. You need to get on the phone, folks. Call the governor, email, call your elected officials, senators, assemblymen, and you tell them this has to get passed. So really, it's exciting for us to hear that finally government is looking at this, because it's just wrong. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be that way.
This legislation would, of course, allow people to sue for the emotional loss that they've received.
And that's the emotional loss. So that's what it does. Now you can't sue for that emotional loss. You can't recover for that. Sounds crazy, but it's true. So unless you have pain and suffering or economic loss, can't recover for the emotional loss of losing a child, losing an elderly parent. That has to change.
Right.
And we're right at that point now. Call your elected officials. This is important. So listen, we have a call, Amanda. Somebody's calling on the line. And we believe we got Dominic on the line. Is that right, Dominic?
Hello, Ken. Brother Ken. It's Dominic from Syosset.
Dominic from Syosset. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. How is Syosset these days?
Syosset is great. You should come to Syosset once in a while. It's a great place.
Be a really, really good place. Do you have a question regarding any kind of issue in personal injury, Dominic?
I had a question in particular, but I did want to be the first one. You have a very special day coming up this week.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's out there on the street, huh?
It is out there on the street, and a wonderful person like you, I wanted to be the first. I know I'm a couple of days early, to wish you a very happy birthday.
Well, I'm very blessed for you to call in, Dominic. I really am. And, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to reach that 60. And there's so much more that I have to do. I'm fortunate to be given an opportunity to actually sort of fight for people. Lots of people. People who really can't fight for themselves. And we were just talking about it. It's kind of exciting, really, that it would be a great birthday gift if the governor would go ahead and sign the legislation with regard to this whole issue of people who have emotional loss when someone has died tragically. So it'd be a great, great birthday present. So if all the elected officials are listening out there, don't worry about whether you like me or don't like me. like your citizens. Love your citizens. Love your fellow man. It's a great thing. It's really an important thing to do. And look, the reality is that the law is not perfect, but we need to make certain things better.
And New York needs to step up and align with the other states as far as wrongful death and give, you know, more rights to those people.
Well, Dominic, thank you for calling in. And I got to tell you, okay, this guarantees on your birthday, I have to do something special. I haven't figured out exactly what that is. But I'm going to call you out publicly on your birthday as well. But thank you so much for calling in.
And you will get a t-shirt, Dominic.
Oh, you got to get a t-shirt.
Thank you very much.
I think you actually have one already out on the street in Syosset.
But you know what? I'm a big guy. I could use two, you know?
It's all good, Dominic. Well, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate you. Say hi to your beautiful wife, Marianne, your beautiful family, and you be blessed. And we will continue to fight the fight for people who need help, people who need to get justice, and a system that actually cares about them. And our office cares about you, folks. We really, really do care about you. And it's our goal here to fight to get you justice and to make sure that you are compensated fairly for serious injuries and the injuries that you suffer as a result of someone's negligence. We will see you on the other side. We have coming back Dr. Dyro, because last week we weren't even close to going through all the subjects. So we'll see you in a couple of minutes and we'll have Dr. Dyro on. Well, welcome back to your program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach with my great co-host and associate attorney, Amanda Spinner. You're on our program from No Fault of Your Own. We are live and we are exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents and the negligence of someone else. If you call into the studio right now at 631-451-1039, you will get a free t-shirt. And those are great t-shirts.
They are fabulous t-shirts.
Right. And Dominic, even though Dominic's my friend out there in Syosset, Dominic's going to get a t-shirt. He has to get a t-shirt.
He called in to wish you happy birthday,
I'm
of course.
You, it's under our rules. Our rules are meant to be applied to everyone for everything. So, Dominic, you'll be getting another t-shirt. I know you did get the other t-shirt, but now you'll have two.
Yes.
And if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryally.com or call 631-654-4900. It's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. We get a lot of phone calls during the week.
Yes.
And people hear us on the radio and then they call us up and they ask us questions. Don't be shy.
Call us while we're on. Call us live.
We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to go ahead and answer a question. But of course, if you are shy, you can do it privately. You can call us the other way. And you know what? If you call us, you come into the office and you say you heard us on it, I promise you we'll give you a t-shirt anyhow.
Love that.
How's that?
Yes.
Okay.
Happy 60th birthday to the world.
Well, why not? All of our consultations on personal injury cases are always free. And if you retain us, you don't have to pay us unless we make a recovery. It's called a contingency fee. We'll lay out all expenses and same thing. We'll agree that we will not get those expenses back unless we make a recovery. And please listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. We are back today with really a great guest. Really enjoyed it last week, Amanda. Had Dr. Dyro on the program, and Dr. Dyro's back in the program with us today. Dr. Dyro, you there?
I'm here, and I was intrigued by your remarks a little bit earlier on the show that the shirts are for everyone. Now you've seen me, so I think you know I'm a medium. Today it is July 25th, and which is Christmas in July.
You know what? You're right. So
I'm not demanding a t-shirt, but you know,
you deserve one.
Pay for this this grueling interview.
Well, I have to tell you, Dr. Dyro, the one thing I'll tell you about our t-shirts were they were engineered perfectly.
No defects.
So you will. I would not give you one of those, Dr. Dyro, because I know, A, you wouldn't accept that, and B, I know that you would figure it out probably within the first 10 seconds. So we'd be glad to give Dr. Dyro a t-shirt today. And
absolutely. I'm writing down size medium, Dr. Dyro.
But we do still have to hold you to making sure that we get some great information today, because if you only give us half great information, then we'll give you half a t-shirt. And then the next time you come on, we'll give you the other half. But all kidding aside, we're really so glad to have you back here on the program. There's a lot of people that listened to it last week, and they said that there was a lot of information that you imparted that really are things that the average person doesn't hear about. You know, you wonder about. You wonder how these cases work. You wonder how someone analyzes something to see, you know, is a product defective? and how can an action be brought? When can it be brought? One of the things that we didn't talk about last week, and I'd like to just kind of briefly go over, is you've held some positions, and I believe you actually were at University Medical Center at Stony Brook for many years, right?
Yes, from about 1980, when they first opened up, I was intrigued by the chance to come up here. Someone, one of colleagues, said they're starting a new hospital. It's going to, you know, a top level hospital. And I was down in Philadelphia working in this research lab that I talked about last week about evaluating medical devices. I thought, well, why not? Let me just see what it's like. And I came up here and said, well, this was great because it's the beginning of a hospital, so I can establish a new department and start from scratch. And it's a great experience, 15 years. And, you know, and I really learned a lot, and I had a lot of fun, and I think I did a little bit of good. And that's the basis of work. I mean, you got to enjoy what you're doing.
So what did you do at Stony Brook? What was your role there?
My role was to form, to direct a biomedical engineering department. And of course, when I got there, there was none because they were just staffing it and just trying to figure out what was going on. I was basically there when the hospital opened back in 1980. And my role was to establish a department, which meant hiring top quality engineers and technicians and mechanics to do the necessary work of maintaining the medical devices used at the hospital. Not only maintaining, but also at the very beginning to recommend and to specify the particular devices that are necessary to assure good operation of the hospital. So as a result, I was on the standards committee and the capital acquisition committee. And this, my presence there gave the committee members, comprised of members of all the different departments of the hospital, some insight into the best possible biomedical equipment to have for University Hospital. So we advised the hospital on the complex medical devices and even the simple medical devices that were used at the hospital.
So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really interesting. Sometimes I'll get a call from a client and a client will say, you know, I was at a facility and something seemed to go wrong with a particular device.
Yeah.
And can I bring an action against the doctor? Now, of course, that depends, right? It could possibly be the doctor was using it or the medical provider perfectly correctly.
Yeah.
But there was something wrong with the equipment, that they're relying that this equipment is going to be manufactured and designed properly for the purpose that it was sold to them and that someone's not going to get injured. So it's not automatically the fault of the medical provider if the particular piece of equipment goes wrong, right? It's not an automatic. It's something that, of course, has to be looked at. But it may not be automatic that they have something that they've done wrong. It could be really just on the person or the entity that sold this equipment or made this equipment. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right, Ken. And when when someone is injured, one big mistake to make right away is to assign blame to one person that you think might be at fault. What you need to do is understand that the medical device is being used in a complex environment. The medical device has to be, I'm going to just take you quickly through, if I may, quickly through the a history of a medical device. Someone's got to come up with the idea for the device. This is in the company that makes these devices. And so they try at the best of their ability to decide, well, how is this device going to work and what is it going to do and is it going to be effective in what it's doing and is it going to be safe and is it going to be manufactured properly? So the company tries as best as possible to make a device that's going to do something that's beneficial to the patient and that it's going to be safe to use. Okay, that sounds fine so far. So they make the device, they put it in a box, and send it to the hospital. Right from there, trouble can start. What if the common carrier drops it and it's not cushioned properly and a circuit board comes dislodged and it gets put into use eventually and it doesn't work? All right, that's one example. All right, so moving further, the box comes along and it gets, this one gets dropped and it comes into the hospital and there's no one there to check it to make sure that it's working according to the manufacturer's specifications.
Let me stop you right there because we're going to pick it up on the other side. This is very interesting, actually, because it's things that people don't think about. And this is why when you're doing a case, if you're doing it right, you think through these, you get experts, you get an expert, hopefully someone like Dr. Dyro, who's very, very well respected in the industry, and you analyze each and every step. Doesn't mean everyone is at fault. It could mean just one party, two, three, a bunch. We don't know. So let's get back to the other side, and we're going to continue on our program from no fault of your own. Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, hi, everyone. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. I'm here with my great associate and co-host, Amanda Spinner, on the program and our program from No Fault to Your Own. And we are live. We're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. If you want, you can call into the studio right now at 631-451-1039. And Amanda will make sure they get a
From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt.
If you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please also contact us at myinjuryli.com. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. All of our personal injury interviews and intakes are free. So the consultations are free, and if you do retain us, you do not pay us anything unless we make a recovery. It's all on a contingency. If we don't make a recovery, it doesn't cost you anything. We'll also lay out expenses, and you don't have to pay us those back either if we're not successful in making a recovery. Please listen to our program every Monday also from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. So we're getting back to Dr. Dyro, and Dr. Dyro was talking about kind of the chain in terms of when a product is made and the different places where something could go wrong.
Right.
You there, Dr. Dyro?
I certainly am, and I'm just dying to continue this saga of the trip of a medical device through the healthcare facility.
So now it gets to the healthcare facility. I think we were up to the possibility that, you know, it could be dropped or something could occur with it, correct?
Yeah. And so what happens is that, all right, let's say you get this box. Let's say it's dropped. Or let's say that there was a defect at the manufacturer or that something happened on its way to the hospital that made it a defective product. What the hospital needs to do, and this is one that you asked what I did at Stony Brook, I established a department that inspected devices that came into the hospital for safety and performance, number one. So if it's not working, it doesn't get used. It doesn't get sent up to the floor. It's not working. We test it against the standards. We have a special medical equipment that is used to inspect these devices that come in. And unfortunately, there are some hospitals that don't have such programs of close incoming inspection, we call it. And there's where a problem can arise.
So let me ask you this. In the times when you were doing that and you would have these inspections, Would it happen where you'd get a product and it really was not working properly?
Yes, that did happen. In fact, one of the major acquisitions, like this is millions of dollars were spent on a system that was hospital-wide, and we began to get these were cardiac monitors, respiration monitors, things that monitor body functions, like heart rate or blood pressure. And these monitors were coming in, and we were testing them, and they weren't working right. What's going on? So we did an analysis in our department and found out that there were crucial circuit boards. These are a part of electronic circuitry within an electronic box. They're like a little board that contain lots of electronics, and they're just like pressed into a fixture. And they should be retained so they don't pop out. Well, guess what? When they're shipping, there's a lot of rattling, and people might drop them, and they jarred loose. And so they were coming in with an improper fixation of this circuit board to the device. So I called the company, and I talked to the design engineer, because my objective is not... It is to improve medical devices. So if there's something that I see that could be an improvement, I don't harangue the company. I just say, look, we got these, and it would be a good idea for you in your design and your manufacturer to put an extra amount of security on these boards so they don't pop out. Well, the company thanked me very much and thanked our biomedical engineering department for finding the problem and fixing it. So it does happen, and it's very crucial that happened at the beginning.
Did you ever have it where you would call one of these companies and they really were not as responsive to that as, you know, you would hope?
There are some companies that it varies. It really, I mean, there are thousands of medical device companies, and the response varies from time to time. Most when they know, well, I guess when they know who they're talking to, they toe the line.
I think you also made an interesting point before, Dr. Dyro, that not every hospital actually has this program where you're inspecting the products that come in. So that's an interesting thing as far as liability, I think, as well.
That is correct. One of my first jobs, if you will, back in 1972, working for a company. For the very first company, the ECRI that evaluated medical devices, was to go around from coast to coast and even some international travel advising hospitals. And these lectures were often given to hospital associations within all of our states. And I basically preached the gospel of biomedical engineering programs that would do things like this incoming inspection and how to deal with medical devices. Now, many hospitals are able to do this. Occasionally, there will be some that don't have as vigorous a program as one would like. But that's the first part of the that's the first time that the hospital sees a device. And it's very important, number one, to give it a name, give it a number. So I established a program where if a device came into a hospital, it gets an ID, it gets a label, it gets a number. That number is entered into a computer database. So now we can keep a life history of that from the day it entered to the day it died.
It's fascinating that there was a period of time, of course, when this didn't happen. And I would think that one of the things as an expert when you're hired is not only looking at the device itself at the time when obviously someone hires you to analyze that device, but also to assess whether or not there was this process that occurred, right? When that device got into commerce. and that device got to the medical facility and it was used on a human being, that you would have to also look to say, was that a process? Did they have a plan? Did they look at these? Or did they just go ahead and put them in there and assume that they were okay, right? That'd be one of the things you would look at?
Yeah, that is correct. And that is one of the points that I bring up when I analyze a medical device, and I look at the overall situation. Look, what if we're looking to see where the let's say who or what is responsible for the injury, I've got to look at from the very beginning to all the way to the end, and it can involve a wide number of people in the hospital. It can involve a doctor. It can involve a nurse. It can involve a technician. It can involve, the maintainer, the one that maintains it. It could be the biomedical engineering department in the first place that maintains it. It could also be, this may sound funny, but it could also be the housekeeper.
Right.
You might ask, how was that?
Hmm.
Well, it turns out that they came into a room and the patient was on a ventilator, but guess what? The ventilator was the ventilator was off, and the patient was dead. Well, now this is not University Hospital. This is just an example.
No, I understand. We don't point at any specific institutions on our program.
No, we're not.
And no, you're not. But I think it's important that what you're saying here is, we got to take a commercial break. We're going to come back in a second. That what you're saying is you have to look at the whole process. So don't just overlook someone who maybe is a housekeeping person, a person that's cleaning the room, as to whether or not they had access to this, whether or not it may be that the device itself wasn't defective, but the procedure they have in place for cleaning and who could be around the machinery was. So let's get back on the other side. It's fascinating, Dr. Darrow. Thank you. Well, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. I'm here with my great co-host and associate, Amanda Spinney. You're on our program from no fault of your own. We are exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. If you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. All of our consultations on personal injury cases are always free. If we do take your case, you don't have to lay any money out. It's all on a contingency. And we will go ahead and not take any kind of fee, and we don't get any fee unless we're successful. We will lay out expenses also, and if we are not successful, you don't have to pay us those expenses back. And please listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. Before we get back with Dr. Darrow in this fascinating conversation, because again, these are areas that are very fascinating to me, and Amanda, you too,
yes,
because it's not things that we deal with every day.
Right. It's not something you ordinarily think about, but I think it's an interesting concept, especially for anyone who ever has utilized healthcare facilities to know, this background information.
And to know that the machinery that's placed in the medical field should be checked out.
Right.
It shouldn't be just thrown in there and, they assume it's okay, came from the manufacturer, it must be okay. Should be checked out, should be screened before it's used on a human being.
Right.
Okay. Also want to give a shout out, Amanda, one of my clients out there, Rich S. I know you're out there. He gave me a text and wished me a happy birthday because he heard it on the show. And Rich, it was great representing you. I actually represented Rich on two separate matters. They were very serious matters. He was seriously injured and he had to have surgeries and he fought through it. And he's, one of those guys that you really so love to work with because he really did everything he could to get better. And in the process, again, most of my clients, when I go through a life experience, man, the same thing with you is they become our friends. And so, Rich, we hope you're doing well, Rich. And continue.
Thank you for listening to our show.
Yeah, continue listening to us, Rich. And if you pop by the office, Rich, you will get a From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt there. And so, again, thank you, Rich, for the good word. So we're back with Dr. Darrow. Dr. Darrow, let's pick up where you just left off, if you could, please.
Yeah, so this one event occurred several years ago where a housekeeper came into the patient's room, a critically ill patient on a ventilator, which sustained the person's breathing, and guess what? Had to clean the floor, and so had to plug in the floor cleaner, the buffing machine, and unplugged the ventilator and plugged in the buffing machine. So we ended up with a really clean floor and a dead patient.
Wow.
It's not that it happens every day. Please don't go too hysterical. I'm pointing out that things can happen.
Right.
Like we got a call from the nurses. A hospital got a call from the nurses center and said, well, the monitor on this patient is not working. We think maybe, it doesn't look like the patient the heart is going. And we said, well, is the monitor, is it plugged in? And the nurse said, of course it's plugged in. And we said, well, can you just go and check? And so the nurse did, and it wasn't plugged in. Little things like that can happen. And it can happen to doctor, nurse, technician, housekeeper, or even the maintainer, the person that is supposed to maintain the equipment. Here's an example. Can I give one example?
I would love to hear an example. I was just going to ask you for one.
So here's the surgeon, it's a dental surgeon, so he's doing work in the person's jaw, and he's got this drill and a drill bit, and he's going to work, and the drill bit snaps off and hits him in the eye, causes eye damage. Okay, so what happened? And immediately one would say, well, it's a defective drill or defective drill bit or what, and so examination of that, and I happen to be personally involved in this one, revealed that the drill itself had been not maintained, and the mechanism within the drill resulted in excessive wobbling of the mechanism, which caused the drill bit itself to whip around, and that was more than the drill could maintain at the speed that it was going, and it basically snapped off. So the root cause of that, if you really get down to the root cause, was the fact that this drill, brand new, would work fine, but over the years it had worn down and resulted in this a bad accident where the drill came snapping off and into the surgeon's eye. So the lesson here is that medical devices, once they get into the hospital, need to have a degree of maintenance. And this maintenance is referred to as preventive maintenance, so that there's a regular inspection and you inspect it to make sure that it's sort of like a car. You know, you got to get your car inspected, because you don't want to, run off the road with your broken axle or whatever. And so the same applies with the medical device.
So that's another aspect in terms of when you're analyzing, was a product defective? Did it cause injury? You obviously need to know that, or usually you're not going to get the call. But was it defective? And where was the break in the chain, essentially, right?
Right.
Right, Rick. Where's the break in the chain? Was it in that shipping that you talked about? Was it when it got into the medical facility and someone didn't either use it properly or someone went ahead and abused it in some way, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, or that particular device, was it not maintained properly? So that if, like with a car, you're supposed to have oil changes so often, I'd imagine with these types of equipment, they're supposed to, of course, be probably checked every so often. Maybe there's certain types of things that are supposed to be done over a period of time. So again, one has to look at the product and go sort of through that chain to see where it broke down, what caused it. And I'd imagine, Dr. Darrow, that sometimes it could be more than one reason, correct?
Oh absolutely. I've written on what we call systems approach to medical device safety. And you know, I've written some articles on this. And basically what it is to ensure medical device safety, one to determine and try to explore how a medical device can operate safely in an environment, one must consider the whole environment. The manufacturer certainly is part of it, a very crucial part, but also the hospital is part of it. And the environment is a part of it, how the environment affects the action of the medical device. One example here. I did a fair amount of work in learning what the problems were with infant apnea monitors. Now, these are baby monitors that are put up to help against the sudden infant death, where infants just stop breathing, they forget to breathe, and they don't breathe, and they die. So medical establishment and engineers got together and said, well, let's come up with these devices that can attach to the baby and monitor the baby.
We got 1 minute left, so...
Okay, only really, 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 really quick. Okay, this one was plugged in. The baby died. Why did it die? Because the monitor was plugged into the same line that the Christmas tree lights were placed on. And the Christmas tree lights were flashing.
Unbelievable.
Put a pulse on the line that prevented the monitor from alarming, because the monitor thought the pulsing of the Christmas tree lights
with
the heartbeat and the breath of the infant. So
I got to tell you, I mean, some of the things that, you know, could happen. I mean, of course, we're fortunate that most of the time it doesn't happen, but it's important, folks, if you're in the medical industry, be careful. Use these devices properly and do what Dr. Dara says. Make sure that you inspect them and you have the right people doing that. So we will see you next week, folks, and have a great week. Dr. Dara, we will have you back again. Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.